I've missed you. I've been in Bible school. Had fun teaching in there. Our Bible school is awesome. Amen. We were taught on the Master is Calling on prayer last month. And I tell you what, it wasn't just good for the students. It was good for me too. Hallelujah. And I tell you, you better have some thick skin to be in our second year of Bible school. There's a lot of work and involved in it, but I'll tell you what, you'll come out knowing the Word of God and knowing God in a greater capacity as well. Hallelujah. You still can get involved in that. If you want to, you can ask somebody at the table as you leave church for information about it. If you want any information, you can go online and get information and learn about it. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray over the Word tonight. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you for your word. We thank you for your precious word that is alive. It's full of power. It is active. It's energizing on our behalf. And Father, I thank you tonight for revelation knowledge that flows through this place. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to reveal God's word in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So if you can't say amen tonight, I want you to say, oh me. Okay? I think that's getting old. But tonight we're going to talk, and I may continue on this, I'm not sure, but we're gonna at least get it started. We're going to talk about developing a strong spirit, getting focused on the spirit man, because, you know, we take care of the flesh pretty good. We feed it good. You know, we pamper it. We clean it. You know, we take care of so many things, but so many times we're not conscious of our spirit man. And we need to learn to become more conscious of our spirit man. And so tonight I'm just going to start talking about developing a strong spirit, because a strong spirit will get us through anything. You know, when I read the scripture this morning that the Apostle Paul said, I'm pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. And sometimes we feel pressed on every side. If our spirit man is strong, we'll not be crushed. If our spirit man is strong, no matter what we're going through, we'll be able to walk through it. We'll be able to walk through the fire. Amen? You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were able. And Jesus showed up, amen? And so you got to have a strong spirit, you know, and in these days, that's not an easy thing to do. There's so many distractions, and there's good things. There's a quote by Charles Dickens that I heard, we're living in the best of times and yet the worst of times. Doesn't it seem like that? And so let's get started. They're a tough time. These times that we're living in, they're tough. We can say it. But that doesn't mean we can't make it through them. That doesn't mean we can't be the light that is shining in the darkness. Amen? And so anyhow, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the New King James Version. Oh, that's pretty. I never know what it looks like back there. It says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. And I'd like you to get, you know, the spirit of, this is a letter from Paul to Timothy. And he's telling Timothy, he's saying, know this, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times will come. And in the Amplified, it says, but understand this, Paul saying, Timothy, understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times of great stress, because we can hear that word, perilous times, you know? But this sounds like more what people are going through. Perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. Does that sound like today a little bit in the world today and in many people's situations? So yes, tough times are here and hard to deal with times are here. But what is the answer to tough times? Amen? The answer to tough times is tough people, strong people, a strong spirit. See, we can try to do it in the flesh. We can try to do it in our strength. But it's a whole lot better when we do it in God's strength. Amen? Jesus said in John 16:33 in the Amplified Classic. Hopefully you got the Amplified Classics up there and not the Amplified, right? Because the wording is a little bit different. I put AMPC on those. I just noticed it up there. This is the original Amplified. There's a new Amplified out there. You know, they're always trying to change things and so forth. But I'm just waiting them. You're finding it, right? Okay, I'm going to get started. So all of my Amplifieds, just so you guys know, says AMPC on it. I have told you these things. Jesus is talking now. He's saying, I have told you these things so that in me you may be perfect. You may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. Does that not sound like today? Distress, frustration, you know? He says, but before that he says, in me you have perfect peace and confidence. We can have confidence in God. But a lot of times we don't have confidence in God. We're fearing what's coming down the pike next. We're wondering, we're speaking things out of our mouths that we shouldn't be speaking out of our mouths. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain and undaunted, for I have overcome the world. I have deprived it, I love this part, I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Jesus has deprived the world of the power to harm us. And we need to be confident in that. And when the world starts harming you or things start coming your way, you need to say, I have confidence, Jesus. You deprived this world the power to harm me. You've conquered it for you. Jesus said, we will have trouble in this world. We will encounter trials. We will experience times of distress, frustration. But he never stopped there. He said, I have overcome it. He tells his disciples, be of good cheer. Now, these disciples went through a lot of persecution. When you read about some of their deaths even. But he said, be of good cheer. Amen. So when you and I have a strong spirit and we start to develop a strong spirit, we can be of good cheer instead of being in fear. When you start developing that strong spirit on the inside of you, you'll start walking in as a conqueror. You'll start walking as a victor. You'll start walking as who you are in Christ. But you got to work on the spirit man on the inside. You know, the flesh man is all, the flesh, we're a spirit, soul, and body. And the flesh and the spirit, when you get born again and saved, the flesh has been in control all your life, and all of a sudden, you know, the flesh doesn't want to let the spirit man gain control. And the way for the spirit man to gain control is what we're going to be talking about. Because we need to be conscious of that, because then we'll be strong. You're going to see that in the scripture. Look at this, Proverbs 18:14. In the Amplified, it says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? The strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? So when we have a weak spirit, it says, what does it say there? Who can raise it up? Who can bear that when you have a weak spirit? Amen? A strong spirit will cause us to overcome physical attacks and financial problems, relational difficulties, you know, setbacks in our jobs or emotional challenges. Everything the devil throws our way, a strong spirit will be able to overcome those things. But we have to work at making our spirit strong. Now, I know a lot of people say, you know, I talk to people and they go, oh, Pastor G, I'm so far behind, or I need to start working on my spirit. It doesn't matter when you start, just get started. Just get started. Just get started putting the word on the inside of you. Just get started making your spirit. God's not out condemning you. He's telling you what will bring you into victory. in the midst of adversity, in the valley of the shadow of death. It is a strong spirit. Our spirits can become so rooted, grounded, built up, and established in the Word, that we can actually, when we're strong in spirit, we can repel disease. We can stop the worry and the cares that come our way. We can resist sin. When our spirit's strong, we'll resist sin. We'll overcome those sins. Amen? We can dissolve offense, override doubt, and block pressure. Amen? I wrote this out. This came to me when I was studying. We are to build up our spiritual immune system. We want to make sure we build up our physical immune system, and we want to take, you know, vitamin C and vitamin D and zinc. That's all you hear, vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. Take this, take that. You know, and so we're working on our flesh, but what kind of vitamins are you putting into your spirit, man? Because that'll take care of the flesh. That'll take care of the flesh, that'll take care of the sickness and disease when we become strong. Don't get me wrong, we're all battling the same battles. Sickness may come your way. Persecution might come your way. But I would rather be strong in the spirit in the midst of the battle than to be weak and overcome by the battle that comes my way. Amen? Colossians chapter 2 says this, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord," chapter 2, verse 6, "so walk in him," look at this, "rooted and built up in him and established in the faith." We want to be rooted and built up in him, amen? "As you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." You and I, we have to get to the place where bad news does not move us. Where we're built up, that bad news does not move us. Let's look at Psalm 112, verses 6 through 8. It says, "Surely he will never be shaken." I don't know about you, but I've been shaken. How many of you have been shaken? It says, "Surely he will never be shaken." It's talking about the righteous, who is us, because we were made righteous through Jesus Christ. Amen? Because we couldn't make ourselves righteous. "Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. He will not be afraid of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord." How many times have we gotten bad news and our heart has not been steadfast, trusting in the Lord? Because many times bad news catches us off guard, doesn't it? But if we build up our spirit, man, and we're going to talk about how to do that and maintaining it. It's not all going to be happening tonight. But when we build up our spirit, man, we'll be able to be steadfast when bad news comes. We'll be able to speak the word of God and declare we'll live and not die. We'll be able to speak that God will supply our needs. We'll be able to speak over our children and so forth, or whatever situation, or if they say, you know, "I'm laying you off." Well, thank you. That's okay, because my God's got a better job. I have confidence in him. Amen? So this person, the person that is strong in spirit, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemy. If things keep shaking you and trouble keeps overwhelming you and people keep getting to you, then it means it's time to start building up your spirit once again. It's time to start building, to develop a strong spirit. Proverbs 24:10 in the Amplified says this, "If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small." And we've all been there. But I want to be, when adversity comes, I want to build up my strength where I don't faint in the day of adversity, where I am able to stand up and say, "No, I trust in the Lord my God. This will not come near us. This will not mean death. This will not mean failure. This will not mean loss. Amen? Or whatever situation. Even with our children, sometimes it just looks like they're going off the edge. No. Our children, you claim your family for the kingdom of God. There's so many promises in that. But you got to build your spirit, man, up to be able to stand. Amen? It says, if you feel under pressure, your strength is not very great. This is the Bible. Proverbs 24:10 in the New Living Translation says, if you feel under pressure, your strength is not very great. And when I was reading that, I was thinking, I can remember when our daughter was born, and we were fighting for her life and so forth. And then I remember things would get good, and then you get another bad report. You know, first it was a brain bleed, then it was this, and it was there. And then we would just keep putting the word on it. And I remember the time that I became weak. I remember it like it was yesterday. She was doing good, and I left the hospital and just went home to take a shower, and things like that, and take care of my son. And I got a phone call from the hospital, and it was bad news. And I remember just passing out right there, saying, and thinking, I'll never forget. I remember thinking, now I'm always building my spirit. This is 30 years ago. But I remember thinking, God, what else could I do? How many of you have been in that spot before? You know? It just, you stay strong, you're building your spirit, you stay strong, but you're going through this battle, and then you just, I don't want to get to the place where we faint. We want to get to the place where we're strong, and we know our God. We're going to read a scripture about that. Amen? The opposite is, if you stand in the day of adversity, your spirit is strong. If you stand in the day of adversity, your spirit is strong. You see, your spirit has an immune system built up. It will resist everything. Weakened and depleted, it will be susceptible to anything. Our spirits must be fed. If you stopped feeding your physical body, you would become weak. If you stop putting in the right nutrition, you would become weak. If you stop taking a shower, you would be not too good to be around. If you stop doing the things to your natural body. But here it says our spirits, it's talking about our flesh and our spirit. Our spirit must be fed, strengthened, trained, developed, and exercised in the same way we do our bodies and mind. Amen? In the same way you care about your bodies, in the same way you care about your mind has a lot to do with your spirit, because you got to renew your mind. Amen? Some of you need to exercise your believing muscle. Amen? Some of you need to exercise your forgiving muscle. Hallelujah. The stronger our spirits, the easier it is to receive, resist, and stand. It's important that we're conscious of this. How many of you want to be able to stand? When the Bible talks about when you've done all to stand. Sometimes when we've done all, we faint. I've done all that I know to do. Bam. But that's not where God wants us to go. He wants, when we've done all, to stand, to keep standing, to stand means to keep speaking, to keep declaring, to keep having confidence in God, to keep trusting in God. Amen? Ephesians 6:10 says this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It doesn't say to be strong in your might. It doesn't say to be strong in yourself. And I know we try to do that. It says to be strong in his might. I want to read a story that I read a while back. And it was actually in a devotional that I had. And I want to read it to you because it's pretty cool. And it's a true story. One day in 1932, you like to hear 1932 stories? 200 sailors were holding onto ropes attached to a dirigible. Does anybody know what that is? It's an airship, okay? So 200 sailors were holding onto these ropes attached to this airship that was up in the air. It's called the USS Akron. And as they attempted to moor, to anchor the giant airship to a steel mast, which is a tall post, they were trying to anchor it in San Diego. Suddenly, however, the airship shot straight up in the air. And some of the men hung onto the lines and were swept up with the ship and soon falling onto the ground. And several of the men were killed. It was crazy. After all the rest had fallen, one man kept hanging on. He could be seen as the airship soared in the sky. People were screaming. People were fainting. They knew this sailor couldn't hold on much longer. And any minute he might fall back to the earth and certain death. But after an hour and 45 minutes, when they were able to pull the dirigible back to its mooring, the sailor was still dangling from the airship. An ambulance was waiting to take him to the hospital, and he said he was all right. But people asked him how he had held on for so long. And he told them he had found that he had about 4 feet of rope. So while holding on with one hand, he tied the rope around his waist with the other, and the rope held him. He had just been swinging free the whole time. Many Christians are also trying to hold on and hold out, but instead they're giving out. And some even fall. But all we really need to do is we need to learn, like he wrapped himself up in that rope, we need to start wrapping ourselves up in the promises of God. We need to start wrapping ourselves. You know, everybody, all of those other people that fell to their death, all of those things, and people were worried about him. I'm sure his family was worried about him. All of that. But he had confidence in that rope that was around him. And we need to learn to start having, when we develop a strong spirit, we'll have confidence in the promises of God. Instead of just hearing, my God supplies all of my needs. Instead of just hearing, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You'll wake up one morning and you'll see that you're healed. You'll go to the mailbox and there'll be a blessing in there for you. You'll start seeing God move when you trust in God and you wrap yourself in the promises of God. Things change. They change in your family. They change in your marriage. There's so many good promises for marriages and families. You know, so many times people just let go of the rope and they give up when they need to wrap the rope of God around, even in those promises. Joel 3:10 says this, "Let the weak say that I'm strong." Every one of us has the potential to walk in a greater place of supernatural strength. Not one person in here is exempt from that. But how do we get to a strong spirit? We must keep the word of God going into our ears and our eyes and let it be in our heart and come out of our mouth. The Bible is not just another history book. It's not just another instruction book or self-help book. The Bible is the word of God, and it is full of power in that word. It is full of help, that supernatural help that will cause change. It'll cause supernatural change in your life. I want you to see a picture of a strong spirit, a man with a strong spirit. And how many of you know David wrote the book of Psalms, the majority of them? And I want us to look at Psalms. We're going to look at Psalm 91. And we're just going to go through that, and then we'll take a few minutes with that, and then we'll end. But let's look at this. Psalm 91, verse 14. I'm going to start with verse 14, and then I'm going to go back to 1. Okay, guys? You got me back there? All right. Verse 14 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows," listen to this, this is the Amplified, look at that up there. "I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness. He trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him, no, never." He said, because he sets his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. This is the man, this man right here, that sets his love on God, this man that has personal knowledge of God's mercy and love and kindness and trust and relies and is confident on God and knows that God will never forsake him, this is the man who dwells in the place, in the secret place of the Most High God. This is the man who wraps himself in the promises of God. God put power in his word so that when we speak, it has creative power to change everything around us. But unless we put his word in us and in our spirit to make our spirit strong, our spirit to be stronger than the weakness of the flesh, amen? For the flesh to say, I don't know how God's going to do it, or, oh, the doctor said this, or the bank said this, or I'm going to lose my house, or, you know, that's the person that's not built up. Will fear come? Absolutely. Will adversity come because Jesus talked about? Absolutely. But when you're strong in spirit, you're confident, your trust is in God, and you know that all is well and all is going to work out fine. Amen? Let's go through Psalm 91 real quick, okay? It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler, from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust. This is the man that gets in the secret place, the man that gets into the word of God, the man that knows the mercy of God, the man that learns the knowledge of God, the man that's learning, the woman that's learning the promises of God. Amen? This is that person, okay? And it says, verse 4, then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night. And you know what? There's been a lot of terror at night through this country recently. People have been in fear. Honestly, I've gotten texts from my son, you know, like when certain things would happen, he'd get a text and he'd say, where are you and Dad? And I don't know where we were when he said it, and I would be like, why? And he goes, well, stay out of the malls, and don't do this, and don't go here. And I'm like, you know, Edmund, we trust in the Lord our God. I know you do, but, you know, you got to use wisdom. You know how kids are, you know. And I said, we're going to be okay. But you know what? It was fear. It actually called him and talked him through that. But you know, people are afraid. You know, they won't drive through cities because they're afraid. There's this terror in the land. But God says here, you will not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. This man is not afraid of terror, nor the evil plots of the enemy. He knows that 1,000 will fall at his side and 10,000 will fall at his right. What's that scripture? 1,000 will fall at his side and 10th. I just gotta read it. Amen. But it will not come near him. Nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. And there's that scripture. I'm gonna skip down to verse 8. Only a spectator shall you be. Yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. The devil can't touch you when you're in the secret place of the Most High. As you witness the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near you. Well, it says no evil shall befall you. Is poverty evil? Is sickness evil? There's all kind of evil in the world because the devil is here in this world. There is a devil. Read your Bible. He's the God of this world. And he's working 24/7 to destroy you. Because you know why? Because he knows God loves you. He knows Jesus went to the cross for you. But this says no evil shall befall the man or woman who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. No plague, no calamity, it talks about in verse 10 and verse 11. it says he'll give his angels special charge. Let's look at verse 14 again. Because he set his love upon me. He knows my name. He loves me. He trusts me. And the Bible says if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. So you can tell if you really love God if you do what he says. Amen? Look at verse 15. It says, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. This is a picture of a man strong in spirit. I will be with him in trouble. If you're in trouble, God will be with you. You need to know that he'll be with you. I will deliver him. I will honor him. This is the person that knows God, that knows the mercy of God, knows his kindness, has personal knowledge of him, trusts and relies on him, knowing he will never forsake them. In your worst moment, when you don't even feel God, when maybe you haven't felt him for a month or a year, he said he'll never forsake you. He is there. He is there. He says, he will call upon me and I will answer him. Amen. Verse 16 says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Long life. You know long life is a part of our deliverance and our salvation? Long life is part of the promises of God. A lot of people will say this, and I don't have time to teach on this now, but I have taught on long life. You remember I brought out in Genesis 6:3 about 120 years? Long life. In Hebrews, you know, I think a lot of people think, you know, everybody has everyone's appointed to die, but God wasn't saying everybody, there's a certain time. He's promised us long life. Some people think, well, you know, the baby that died at 5, that was God's time, that was God's appointed time, or the little baby that didn't make it, or the young mother of 5 children, that is not God. He's no respecter of persons. God's not playing games with us. I've never seen victory in that. I've never heard somebody say, well, if my mother didn't die when I was 10, then I don't know if I would have ever done this. Come on now. Things do happen, but we need to be strong in spirit so it doesn't happen to us. Amen? He says, God said, I will be with him in trouble. He'll be with us in the storms, in COVID-19. Come on now. God hasn't left us. He hasn't abandoned us. He says he'll deliver us. Now, if we don't believe the word and we don't get it into our thinking and we don't get it into our mouths, then we won't walk in what belongs to us. We won't walk in those promises. We won't be strong in those promises. And hey, you know, there's nobody exempt from this, no matter who you are. I'm going to finish up with Psalm 92. I'm going to read 12 through 15. Look at this. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. How many of you know that God wants us to be useful and fruitful? They shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. This is us, guys. Planted in the house of the Lord, they shall flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Amen? They shall be full of sap. Are you full of sap tonight? Someone say, how you doing? I'm full of sap. Spiritual vitality. Me and Donna, we confess all the time. I've got vim, vigor, and we go on. We confess all these energy scriptures around the house. Amen? And vitality. Shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. Now look at this. Verse 15. Look at this. This is so crazy. And I just saw this. Many of you, maybe you've all seen this, but I just saw this for the first time this afternoon. They are living memorials. Here's where we're supposed to be, church. Living memorials. Here's what the world should see. Living memorials, not dead ones. living memorials, healed. Seeing, praying for people and seeing the sick healed and seeing people delivered and being used of God. What does your next door neighbor see you as? You know? I'd like my next door neighbor to see me when I'm 130. She's 130 and she still drives. We're living memorials. Have you ever thought of yourself as a living memorial? Every time the world sees you, they ought to see a living memorial to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He's my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So what's the problem? It's our thinking. You have to have your mind renewed to the word of God. People don't even want to see the good things that God says about them. I hear people say, I wouldn't say that. Why not? I wouldn't say I have power over the devil because he might come after me. But the problem is our thinking. We have to have our minds renewed to the word of God. How do you maintain it? A steady diet of the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And if you want to live a good life, you have to stay in the word. You ought to read the word every day. You've got to read your Bible. You say, well, I don't have time. Well, how much time do you spend at the doctor's office? How much time do you spend waiting in so many different places that you wouldn't have to wait in possibly if you had the word in you? Amen? If you were healthy and blessed, walking in the blessings of God. We are born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, and we can live the supernatural life that God has set in motion for us. But it starts with the word of God. We've got to stay in the word. You cannot get all you need at church. God wants us to walk in victory, but we have to pay attention to him. We have to, Proverbs said, pay attention to my word. Consent and submit to my sayings. You cannot walk in victory without spending time with the Lord. We have to stay in contact. Amen? The word of God is the vocabulary of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to hear the voice of the Spirit, you got to get in the word of God. You got to get in the word of God. The more you give of God of yourself, the more open doors will come into your life, will happen. But we must concentrate all of those things in Psalm 91. I brought that out because that man was under the secret place of the Most High God. God was telling him that I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, he is my fortress. God was saying, no evil will befall him. With long life, I'll satisfy you. Listen, I don't want to leave the earth until I'm sat. I don't know what long life means to everybody else, but I just want to be satisfied. Okay, God, I'm ready. Instead of saying, oh God, I can't handle this. I'm ready now. Just take me out of here. I just can't handle it anymore. Come on, you guys have been there. I know you're just putting on your nice face right now. There are things that'll happen, but if we get our spirit man strong, they will not affect us the way they're affecting the world that doesn't know Jesus. Amen? And then we'll become that memorial, and people will want what we have. People will see. We'll be that testimony. And I tell you, in our walk of faith, as we've learned and grown over these 30 years, there were times that you just was like, you know, beat me up, Lord Jesus. I'm ready to go. But I'm not satisfied. I'm not satisfied. Amen? I'll be satisfied when the rapture happens. When we're reaching multitudes and multitudes of souls, when we're seeing the move of God that we need to, what I believe that Pastor talked about this morning, I'm expecting great things. You know what? One day you're going to lay hands on a sick person and they're going to get healed, and you're going to surprise yourself. Because your spirit, man, was strong, and you knew the power that you had over that sickness and that disease. Amen? So can we work at getting our spirit strong, developing a strong spirit? Amen? We're going to have our worship team. I guess they're up here. And I tried not to go too long for you tonight, but as we go forward, and if I'm preaching on Sunday nights, we're going to give you little nuggets on how to make your spirit strong. But get in the Word of God and stay in it. Make it everything, you know. Shut the TV off at least for an hour a night. Or the internet. Or your phone. I don't know what people go on, you know. And you know, I've been there. I'll go home and I just want to get updated on everything. And I'm, as pastor, I'm usually asleep in 2 minutes, but I'm usually asleep like trying to read the news on my phone to see what's happening, you know. And but the Lord dealt with me. He said, don't go to sleep reading the news. Go to sleep meditating on a scripture. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to have the worship team come, and we're going to close with a worship song. And if anybody needs prayer for anything, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, man, that's the first place. You got to receive Jesus. Listen, when you leave this earth, I'm telling you, you are not going to disintegrate and never exist. I used to feel bad. I would stand in front of my church and say, too bad, I'm going to die and all the bugs are going to eat me. I didn't know I was going to heaven or hell. And there is a hell and a heaven, and the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. So if you've not received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it tonight. It'll change your life forever. And you know what? You're going to live for eternity. Amen? So I want everyone to say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you now, and I thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. I thank you for eternal life. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. I want you as my Lord and my Savior. I thank you that I'm forgiven of every sin, and that I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.